Stay in touch with us on Facebook and Instagram at Unique Yet Connected.
You are now listening to the 44th episode of Unique Yet Connected podcast. The theme for this episode is putting down uncomfortable responsibility overload. Hello, brilliant souls in and around the world. Nolita Kozwa Fenton is my name. Dolokaz is my clan name. And this is episode 44. A warm welcome to Unique Yet Connected podcast, where we treat our episodes as mini workshops so we can best share the wisdom of systemic family constellations. Thank you for joining our movement of translating this wisdom into a practical language that all of us can easily understand and, most importantly, implement in our daily lives. The theme for this episode is putting down uncomfortable responsibility overload. I know most of us need that. Remember, when you comment, ask questions, like and share our content and links, you help us grow together. And there wouldn't be a podcast without you, myself, Kinga, Nick, the ones who came before us, and Bert Hellinger, the founder of the work that is most fulfilling for Kinga and I. And as always, Kinga is on the other side of the virtual. Hi, Kings.
Hi, Noli. Thank you, Noli. Hello, dear listeners and co-editors. Yes, dear listeners, keep sharing this knowledge because it can change lives for the better. Thank you for your contribution in helping us to be chosen into the top 10 South Africa family podcasts by Feedspot. As you know, you are our inspiration in building and opening up the theme about the laws of love and romantic relationship. Please continue to share your questions, comments, and insights on uniqueyetconnected@gmail.com and on WhatsApp 076-289-6670. You can also join our monthly virtual connection circle every last Tuesday evening of the month. To receive your link, subscribe on our website www.uniqueyetconnected.com or check for updates on our socials at uniqueyetconnected.
Or you're welcome to drop us a WhatsApp message so we can share the link with you. Our WhatsApp number is 076-289-6670. You can also join our WhatsApp group, send us a message, and it will add you to the group. And we are still opening up about the signs of codependent behavior. If you've been with us since the beginning of this series, how are you doing, dear listener? What have you discovered about yourself? Kinga and I discovered a lot about ourselves and we supported each other through it all. And in some instances, we booked constellation sessions. If you need support in any way, remember, we are here for you. You can also book a constellation session if you need to get to the root cause of what's bothering you. Isn't that right, Kings?
Yes, yes, we are here for you, and you can contact us on whichever channel that suits you best via our website, drop us an email, or send us a WhatsApp message. You can also drop us a message on our socials, and we will respond to you. We are here to answer your questions and support you in the best way we can. Now, back to this episode. You might have heard this already, but let's just repeat it for the sake of the newcomers. We have established in the previous episodes that people can exhibit codependency in different ways and at varying levels. In this episode, we carry on reading through and discussing the list of the signs of codependent behavior by Erica Swinley. In the past episodes, we have started to assess our level of codependency by the criteria of whether this feels very much like me or a little bit like me or not at all like me. You can scale them between 1 and 10, 1 being not at all like me and 10 exactly like me. Pause the podcast and bring your notebook if you haven't already done so, and let's start the work. But first, we will read through again the list and some signs of codependent behavior.
I've got my notebook right here, and here comes the list. Lacking boundaries between yourself and others. blurring lines in relationships. You struggle to see where you end and the other person begins, feeling low self-esteem, fearing rejection and abandonment. We have looked through these points in episode 35, and you are welcome to go back to the episode to listen to them. Episode 36, we looked at apologizing or accepting blame to avoid conflict, being who someone else wants you to be, ignoring your own needs, putting other people's needs before your own, anticipating and reacting to someone else's needs, which may be perceived accurately or not. It took us 2 episodes to crack this one, episode 37 and episode 38. In episode 39, we looked at feeling like you've lost your sense of self. And in episode 40, we still explored this point. In episode 41 and 42, we discussed needing to control, including making decisions for others or managing them. And in episode 43, we looked at doing things for others that make you feel uncomfortable just to make them happy. And in this episode, we are still exploring doing things for others that make you feel uncomfortable just to make them happy. And what do we still have on our list? Taking on too much, basing your moods on how someone else feels, not on your own emotions. Resenting not receiving appreciation for your actions. We have already spoken about alcoholism in my family, and in the constellation session that we did with Kinga at the end of last year, where we were checking the field on what was going on between my parents while I was in the womb, we saw that my mom took on too much responsibility. With the codependent of doing things for people that make you feel uncomfortable just to make them happy, initially you ask, why do you think I do that? The first thing that came into my mind was responsibility, but I didn't say it. Now, if you are saying that it goes back to childhood because of, at the time, we wanted to balance the emotional state in the family, that resonates with me because as the firstborn, I did take on certain responsibility just to relieve my mom so that when she gets home, she has less to deal with. Already at 9 years old, I was trusted with money and not my dad because of his drinking problem. When he was not able to step up, I would step up and tell my mom that, you know, I'm here, I'll do it. And even though she tries to keep firm boundaries between being a parent and the child, she still said okay because she needed my help.
Thank you for sharing this, Nolita. It looks like the distrust of men with money that we talked about in episode 41 is not yours.
Oh, that could be true. I also grew up not trusting my dad with money. So yeah, you're onto something.
Yeah, it goes back to your mom and dad or even before, but we can definitely pinpoint this pattern here with your parents.
I also remember that there was a time when hiding my mother's bag and wallet was second nature because my mom didn't want him to have access to money for drinking. I still think I have trust issues when it comes to money.
This put you in the situation that you had to hold on to the money and not give it to your father. And this must have been very difficult because structurally, culturally, and in every way, you would have to give him the money if he said, give it to me. So you had to hide it from him where he couldn't find it. You had to lie to him that you don't have it.
Wow. So then now I developed this view that money is something to be held onto instead of an energy flow.
Money is something that you have to control.
That kind of feels like open sesame, you know, my reason behind hiding the money from my ex-husband as well.
So yes, dear listener, so this is why it is worthwhile to write into your journal about everything that comes into your mind while you are listening to our podcast episodes. You might suddenly realize a behavior pattern of yours, maybe the one that you don't like to even think about and might even be or have been ashamed of it for a long time, actually doesn't belong to you. It didn't start with you. When this happens, and if you realize to whom this behavior belongs to, you can do an exercise to give back this pattern to the person who it belongs to. So I would like to share this little exercise with you. You can bring in the person, in your case, Nolita, your mom, in your imagination, which we call in your mind fully, hand back this distrust and the need to control your partner's money back to her. If you don't know the person, you can still do this. Just imagine that someone is standing there and you're handing back this pattern which doesn't belong to you. What is relevant about this realization connecting to this episode is the fact that it was not enough to hide the money, but you also had to make your dad forget about it, that he wanted to have the money. So you had to try to make him happy and keep him in a good mood. Of course, I don't know, but maybe you had to clown around so he would forget that the money was in your pocket and not in his.
This is such a big revelation, Kings. Thank you. Thank you so much. The thing about staying with an addict is that we had to hide anything that would give him access to alcohol, even the keys. Sometimes he would want to go out and drink, you know, and the key thing was tricky. But my mom did try to control the situation. So I was her assistant in it. I had to grow up fast. And I was very much aware of what was happening. My father's alcoholism was a lot.
Was your dad fun when he was drinking?
I don't think my dad was fun. According to me, to my own definition of fun, he wasn't fun. He was a quiet person. The thing I enjoyed about him was that at least he would talk when he was drunk and his mood would be lighter. I think it was uncomfortable. His silence was uncomfortable. He would also become affectionate. When he was sober, he was very reserved and a little scary to a little girl like me. And also, he would also be affectionate with my mom when he was drunk. And I kind of liked that. And I liked seeing them like that. But my mom didn't like it. So the affection wouldn't last long because my mom didn't like the smell of alcohol.
The reason I asked you is because I was thinking while you were saying your story that in counseling and in inner child development work, we normally look at having an addict as a parent as a big factor in creating a codependent personality in the child. But then also coming from a family where my father was drinking, a beginning when an addict is not yet drunk, but only tipsy, the drinking parent is quite fun. And as a child, we more than probably enjoy being around them. We as a child only turn away from our addict dads or moms because we want to make our sober parents happy and not because we want to distance ourselves from them, from the drinking parent.
Yeah, that is quite something. Yeah, they are a little fun when they tipsy. And I just remembered in my head that, yeah, I really did enjoy him quite a bit when he was tipsy. So what I'm also finding here is that I turned away from my dad because I saw how sad my mom was and how heavy my dad's drinking was on her.
Yeah, back to being fun. Yeah, my father would buy me whatever I asked for and my favorite things when he was drinking. But I knew like you that my mom didn't like it. So I sided with my mom in disliking his drinking.
As an adult, you know, I was talking to one of my uncles from my father's side about our Scottish DNA. And he said to me that Scottish people love their drink. But the society where my father was in didn't understand the Scottish traits in him, and they called him an alcoholic. Maybe if he had been around people who understood his DNA better and let him have a drink in the middle of the day, he wouldn't have become an alcoholic later. My mom's family had no relationship with alcohol, especially back then, and my mom couldn't understand what was going on with my dad. This talk changed my opinion about drinking and softened my heart towards the alcoholism in my dad.
It just opened up something for me and made me realize that I was so self-centered up to this point. I only looked at my parents from my point of view, through my faith and my experiences. So just a little bit about my parents. My mom was a real character, the soul and heart of a party or any gathering. She used to say that without the need of a drink, she could have such a great time that she would dance her hair loose from a bun. And she was a very outgoing person. She loved being with people. She loved networking. My father was by nature an introverted intellectual. He had a melancholic personality. He liked to read and spend time in his own world. For him, going out and meeting people was not so comfortable. So maybe he started to drink to try to please my mom by trying to be more of an extrovert and outgoing, and the alcohol gave him the courage to do that. He wanted to make her happy. Of course, he didn't choose the best way to try to do that. That is for sure. And I have just realized that my dad was codependent on my mom.
Yeah, so he wanted to become part of her world.
Not that it is my mom's fault, or it was, but he might have started to drink to try to make my mom love him more and not to find him so boring.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. These things have layers indeed.
Yes, dear listeners, what a gem we have found here. The peace mind, it is so beneficial to take our time talking about these points. It feels, you know, we could spend our whole life talking about them. There are so many layers. In our life stories, we tend to allocate the role of the villain to one person and the angel to the other. But the truth is that we are all villains and angels at the same time. And actually, at the end, we are all innocent.
And then I just have one question now, and that is so true. We're everything, we've got everything in us. And just a question comes up. How does one work with this?
You have got to know yourself. If your personality is more reserved and you were invited to an event, you more than probably will have a resistance towards attending this event. But out of experience, you know that most of the time, when you push through your resistance and go to these events, you enjoy yourself, and that helps you to push through your resistance and go. So what is important here, you have to ask yourself, is this resistance or am I genuinely feeling uncomfortable doing this? Finding out the difference between resistance or genuine uncomfortable feeling takes time. It has layers. It's like peeling the onion layer by layer.
So what I'm getting is, whenever we feel uncomfortable, it doesn't necessarily mean that we are codependent. So, yeah, I'm noting that. Yeah.
Oh, not at all. We might be working on relaxing our rigid boundaries.
This is my feeling that this is not so obvious.
Yeah, take your time to understand why I am uncomfortable doing this. But when you want to say no, be okay to say no.
I just need to know why I said no. Okay, so I'm taking lots of notes, dear listener. I hope you are too.
Yes, because you have to have a very good reason why you said no to another person. I don't know if it makes sense, but I hope it makes sense.
Yes, it does. For me, it goes back to what you said, that saying no can go back to a belief or a pattern that runs in the family. I have to rethink my reaction to the name-giving ceremony. what we discussed in episode 43.
My summary of this episode would be that before you say no or yes, check in with yourself. Why are you choosing to say no or yes? And look beyond you, yourself, into your parents' relationship and see if the choice might be rooted there and not in my own personality or preferences.
For me, we must take time to look deeper when we are faced with something that we are uncomfortable with. So my art piece, what I'm carving for myself, is that I'll have to look at it from a different size for now, you know. So the ceremony thing is like the rite of passage into my husband's family. So I have to look at it in that angle as well. And I'm glad it hasn't happened yet. And we got to this episode and I've learned now that I should look into my resistance on a deeper level. Interesting episode.
Yes, and I have a question now. How much is the behavior that we most dislike in our partner was originally created to try to please us? You see, I'm still working through my mom and dad. Because my mom's biggest enemy was my father's drinking. So she would be very upset with me that I ended up with this. But my father's drinking might have been rooted in his love for her and wanting to please her.
You always say there's no right and wrong. So I'm willing to, yeah, to look into that, to explore what you've just said now.
Yeah, this is now raises a question about the dynamics in all relationships. What if the root of a problem in a relationship started off with a good intention and subconscious pleasing of our partners? Yeah, I have to sit with this a bit. So my art piece that I will look at from many angles from this episode is this.
This is something else, you know, and I'm now thinking to myself, how much do we create our own suffering? It goes back to the victim and perpetrator scenario. It hit me now that how often the father ends up being the perpetrator in the family system or in the family. Like, there is also now a question that's coming up for me about gender-based violence. We raise the men as the mothers, you know, we raise the men as the mothers who become violent against the women. How much of the responsibility for this violence lies with us as women? And that is my question. And that is something I think I still want to explore.
I'm going to come from a different angle that I believe it would be worthwhile when we look into gender-based violence to ask, why do I feel subconsciously that I have to be punished? Who is the one in my system and between my ancestors that want to be punished or needs to be punished? And when I let go of this need to be punished from my system, will that automatically let go of the violence I am experiencing?
Wow, and that is why I love the systemic work, because it has, you know, that angle is also something else. And I'm open to looking at that as well. So, you know, now I'm thinking about, it doesn't necessarily mean that if I escape from the violence, my children and grandchildren will be saved from this pattern. We owe it to our children to work through these patterns.
Yeah, for this work, we need an open heart and open mind, because we have to change well-established but rigid perspectives about good and bad.
Of course, we don't say that it's the woman's fault to be beaten up.
No, definitely not.
But it could be in our system. Everything is in our system, all behaviors and actions. How can we look at this, Kings?
So we all know about guilt. And it looks like, you know, there is guilt, a feeling of guilt in the system. What is the guilt asking for is to be cleansed. And how is it cleansed? By punishment. That is how we try to balance it. It is not how the system wants to balance it, though.
So what you are saying is that we can work with guilt in the field.
Yes, we can let the guilt go amid that, the need to be punished can also go, or hopefully we have to see it in the field.
This will be very valuable when we work with gender-based violence. Please do share the episode so it can help the next person. Thank you for listening, dear listener. And Kings, what can you expect in episode 45?
We will talk about when we had to do uncomfortable things and things that costed us too much emotionally to hold on to someone else's love. And dear listener, if this episode touched you in any way, if you feel like you are experiencing limiting patterns or relationship issues and would like to have an individual session, book a family constellation session with us on our website, www.uniqueyetconnected.com, or on our socials, Facebook or Instagram. Our handle on both platforms is @uniqueyetconnected.
Thank you. Thank you so much for listening to our 44th episode. And another big thank you to Nick Mons from That Guy Productions for making us sound fabulous and on point. Our 45th episode is in 2 weeks' time from now. Tune in on the 28th of April, 2024, from 10 a.m. South African Standard Time. Remember, all our episodes are evergreen. You can listen to them at any time on Spotify, on Apple Podcast, you know, on YouTube. You can choose whatever channel. You can find the links on our socials. We're looking forward to hearing from you. Like our pages. Do engage with us on Facebook or Instagram at Unique Yet Connected. Unique spelled YOUNIQUE. Stay unique, stay connected, and remember, you are one of a kind, and we can only create a really meaningful podcast together. Siyabulela, kosonom. Bye bye.
Siyabulela, kosonom. Thank you. Bye bye.